The Senate Committee on Human Services will come to order. Welcome. It's been a quiet day.
Quiet day at the ranch.
Quiet day at the ranch. Just sitting around all day.
Did something happen?
Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. So we will get to the work sessions later, but just to clarify, what shows up on the actual agendas is different than what you see in OLIS. OLIS does not have the ability to show you these little notations that say things like the following bill is being heard solely for the purpose of passing it to another committee. So if you are here because you are panicked that we are going to vote on either Senate Bill 555 or Senate Bill 560, having never had a public hearing on either of them, rest assured we are just going to send them back to the Senate President's office to be referred to more appropriate committees. But we're going to start with our public hearings, and I'm going to open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 307. Cheyenne.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 307 requires the Department of Human Services to establish procedures for residents of licensed long-term care, retirement, or residential facilities to request the gender of the individual assigned to assist with activities of daily living. Also requires a facility honor the request, except in cases of significant difficulty or cost, requires a written documentation of the rationale for any denials, requires DHS to establish a complaint procedure for failures to comply. Lastly, it requires DHS investigate each complaint and provide a written report to the resident and the facility within 7 days of completion. There is no subsequent referral.
Thank you very much. Senator Johnson.
Thank you for your courtesy, Madam Chair. As all the Senate knows, being late on the floor has had a cascading effect into all of our afternoons. I'll be very brief. For the record, my name is Betsy Johnson. I represent Senate District 16. As many of you know, on April 22nd of 2013, I was involved in a very serious automobile accident. I went to surgery at OHSU and after a week there was discharged to the Mirabella for physical therapy and rehabilitation for the wound as well as the underlying accident. And it was there that I was introduced to a number of issues for the first time that this bill speaks to. Foremost among them is the lack of supervision by DHS in overseeing facilities that they license. And I have spoken with the director about it. I met with her staff at length. I believe that they may testify. I think that this instance, my rehab at Mirabella and the failure of another facility in my district, the Niwana, drove into stark contrast the fact that the licensing division of DHS was, in my opinion, not doing their job. And what I believe their job to be is to be a voice for the voiceless. I had the benefit of a robust support network. I had the benefit of a plumpy Rolodex and a telephone. And I could call for help in a lifeline every time I needed to, and did with regularity, much to the annoyance of the facility. But there were others there at the same time I was, and I know there are others out there right now who have no voice for a variety of reasons. And I think that it is a clarion call to the agency to do better with respect to licensing. And again, I hope you will avail them the opportunity to come up and talk about improvements that they have already made as a result of the issue of kind of laxed oversight being brought to their attention. The second was a long list of major and minor indignities that people who don't have a voice are subjected to on a daily basis. And while you can't see her, my deceased 93-year-old mother is sitting right here next to me, and reminding me that in instances particularly where there is a request for what I'm going to call gender-appropriate care in some of the intimate details of daily living, that especially for older women, this is a pretty important issue. And I have gone round and round with management at Mirabella, specifically with regard to some of the residents there who have asked for gender-appropriate caregivers for bathing and other hygiene. and been denied in a rather casual way. And so this bill, after the failure of negotiation to get Mirabella to change their practices, this bill is now a call for it to be memorialized in statute for those facilities who, for whatever reason, seem to think that it doesn't matter that a person's pride is assaulted on a daily basis when they cannot get gender appropriate care provided in facilities. That's the sum total of the bill. Again, I want to, as critical as I have been of DHS, I want to invite them to speak today and talk about some of the new procedures that they have attempted to put in place to try to put some real teeth in the licensure. Among other things, when complaints are called in, I think it's totally inappropriate, and this is one of the things they've changed, to call up the alleged perpetrator and go, all this bad stuff we're hearing about you, true? I mean, that isn't robust investigation. And I think that we're driving home the point repeatedly that DHS is the watchdog. People expect them to be the watchdog. And for folks who otherwise cannot communicate their concerns, they count on that licensing division to do a good and robust job. That's the bill, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Are there questions for Senator Johnson? Senator Cruz.
My cane's better than yours. Looks a lot nicer. I just thought I'd let you know.
And I, Madam Chair, Senator Cruz, and I'm still enough of a wimp that I'm using mine, and I would note that your recovery has progressed to the point that you amble through the halls with speed and alacrity.
It's a day-to-day thing at this point, so.
One light note, Madam Chair. I had the opportunity to speak to the Oregon Society of Orthopedic Surgeons, and I was asked during the Q&A period how they could become more involved in the political process. My response was, hell, you're doing it from within. We've got enough replaced joints in this building that we can all go up to the lounge and compare x-rays.
We can.
So conquer from within. Thank you very much.
Think any further questions for Senator Johnson before she goes away? Seeing none, thank you very much, Senator Johnson. I have one other person signed up, Ashley Cottingham. Ashley Carson Cottingham. Yeah? Welcome.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair Gelser, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Ashley Carson Cottingham, and I'm the Deputy Director for Aging and People with Disabilities at the Department of Human Services. Thanks for the opportunity today to provide comment on Senate Bill 307. The Department of Human Services licenses facilities that provide long-term care services to older adults and people with physical disabilities. It's important that facilities are meeting residents' needs and that they provide high-quality services to their residents at all times. We believe that these facilities should always be incorporating the principles of independence, dignity, privacy, choice, and that they do so in a home-like environment. The department agrees that there are ways we can and must improve aspects of our licensing function. We're working internally and with Senator Johnson on addressing issues and making improvements right away. We're also working with the Office of the Long-Term Care Ombudsman to identify gaps that we haven't already identified inside of our agency to make changes to better serve Oregon's long-term care consumers. I'll share just three examples quickly that we're working on right now. We're working to develop a tool that can be used to better evaluate whether facilities have the right staffing levels in place to ensure that all of the needs of the residents are being met. We are also ensuring that licensing calls or complaints are triaged in a more streamlined manner and that they're differentiated from abuse calls that are coming into our safe line to report abuse, and that each instance of a licensing violation or complaint is documented and investigated. Excuse me. We also have a plan in place to hire new staff all across the state that will be able to more immediately respond to and investigate licensing complaints. Additionally, we're working with Senator Johnson on an amendment to the bill to ensure that residents are afforded the rights intended through her legislation. I want to thank the committee for your time today.
Senator Montes Anderson.
I have a couple of instances I want to share. One, when I was working in the state of Virginia, and I did a lot of home health. And I'm not sure if this would, I'm not sure if this would be apropos for a home health nurse, but I had to hire staff to give activities of daily living, bathing, et cetera. And one of the patients would not take a black person at all, or a Latino. It had to be a white. Okay, so I'm not sure where this legislation is going regarding discrimination, but that is an issue with our patients, especially the elderly. So we have that. That is something we have to address. I then definitely, my mother was a very private person, and they assigned a male to her, and it was unacceptable for her. I mean, she just could not, and I had to intervene because, you know, they have their schedule, their staffing, et cetera, and they've set it up, and they wouldn't that move. But I know when I was working as a public health nurse doing home health, I would try to accommodate the patient, and I think that's where we're going. If there is a request by the patient, I think that you have to really bend over backwards to try to meet their needs. So I know we're going to run into some problems in one area, but knowing that these patients are so vulnerable that we need to make as much accommodation for them as possible. So I just needed to let you know where I was standing on the issue and know the complexity that is there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator Dimrow.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I don't know if this is part of what you're thinking about in terms of amendments, but one concern that I might have is Senator Johnson mentioned that, some residents are going to be more comfortable about coming forward and complaining than others are. And I would think that in this case, some would be more comfortable just, insisting on something that felt more comfortable to them than others. And there may be many who wouldn't even really think they had the ability to give their thoughts. And so, I'm just wondering if there couldn't be built into this a process where when we're talking about intimate activities of daily living, if there couldn't be an automatic sort of request to the person, or the person could have their preference on file or something so that they don't have to complain. Because I can think of a number of people who would just give in, as it were, and say, okay, I'm not really empowered to say how I really feel.
Chair Gelser, Senator Dembro, I think that's definitely something we can consider as we work with Senator Johnson on an amendment. It goes right along, in line with residents of, our entire long-term care services and support system, maintaining their dignity and choice and privacy, and especially in our community-based care settings, providing all of that care in a home-like setting.
So if you're going to look at triaging the phone calls as they come in, how would you balance a question of a resident that is deeply concerned about having a person of the opposite gender provide this very intimate care, maybe to the point where they're no longer showering or bathing because it's too much for them to handle? Is that going to get pushed off into a lower category than an abuse or a licensing call?
Chair Gelser, I wouldn't want to characterize that any concern or complaint gets pushed into a lower category, but we just want to make sure that if a resident has a concern about the care they're receiving, that it's being addressed by the right entity. And we work so closely together with our abuse investigators, our licensing division, and then in partnership with our Office of Long-Term Care Ombudsman. And so we would want to work with those three entities to make sure the right person or people or entity is handling that issue. I mean, if it truly goes into a licensing issue, you know, if it's clear that that complaint needs to be investigated under the licensing landscape, we would want to make sure that it gets to the right people there and that there's a more immediate response.
So maybe I could ask it in a different way, because you'd use the word triage, which to me generally suggests some things are more urgent than other things. Where would a request of a person that they simply can't bathe because they don't have access to a person that they're comfortable with doing that, how quickly can they expect a response from DHS, and who is the appropriate entity to deal with that?
Chair Gelser, I might need to get back to you with a response on exactly how that's handled right now. I believe it would be handled right now through our licensing division. If the person's not safe because of the issue they're raising, I think it would go more into the abuse category and need to be investigated by our Adult Protective Services investigators. So if it even, you know, slightly crosses into that realm, we would want to make sure that an APS investigation is happening right away.
And on the amendment that you're working on with Senator Johnson, would that create in statute that ability for a resident, for an individual, to be able to direct the type of person that's providing that intimate care? And if so, what enforcement mechanisms are you looking at in that amendment to make sure that that's enforced readily and quickly for these residents?
Chair Gelser, we've just begun our work on an amendment, and so I would need to bring back further detail on that the next time this bill is before the committee.
Thank you. And I just think that part would be important. If we have a statute that says it's great, or we want people to be able to access the type of care that they need, but there isn't a mechanism to enforce that quickly, I think for these individuals it becomes not as useful, and it can go pretty quickly where a person really is refusing to bathe. And I think that is a safety and health issue. Are there others that have questions? Senator Cruz?
Just one, and I know Senator Johnson did speak to it, and it's in here, but let's just make sure that in some parts of the state, finding staff can be challenging. So we need to have accommodations where that is that sort of challenge. So.
Thank you. Anything further? No. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else that would like to be heard on Senate Bill 307? Seeing none, thank you, Senator Johnson, for bringing this to us. Thank you, DHS, and we will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 307 and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 244.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 244 requires Oregon Housing and Community Services to adopt a policy to concentrate distribution of general housing account funds according to the greatest need for low-income and very low-income housing. It also has no subsequent.
Thank you, Cheyenne. Margaret Van Vliet, welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Margaret Van Vliet. I am the Director of Oregon Housing and Community Services Department. Senate Bill 244 before you today, I think, is a fairly simple fix that we need just for ease of administration of our programs. Just a very quick word on background. Some of you are aware that for the last couple of years, my agency has undergone a pretty extensive kind of review of all of our operations, our policy and governance, our service model service delivery models, and our fiscal sort of structures. And that was a call to really do a deep dive that the governor put out there a couple of years ago. So we completed a pretty exhaustive analytic and community engagement process. And among the recommendations that came forward were some program level fixes that our partners said would help them deliver housing programs more effectively and more efficiently. And so some of those program changes we can handle through administrative rule rewriting, which we're actively doing, and some of them are really just questions of kind of internal policy and procedures. There are a couple of pieces that really amount to cleanup that are in statute, and so this bill would fix those inconsistency in language about who is served. It would clean up and sort of bring current language about geographic equity and do a variety of other, as I say, sort of housekeeping kinds of things for our, these couple of programs. So we have not heard of anybody who is concerned about making this set of changes. Again, it's pretty straightforward. Happy to answer questions, but that's the story today.
Senator Cruz.
Clarification. We're just cleaning up language so Correct. That you can legally do what you're already doing.
Chair Gelser and Senator Cruz, so that we can make our documents easier to read right. and interpret over time. So right now, things are pretty complicated, and if we fix this, documentation will be easier.
I mean, it's not a mission change. It's just clarification of technical. Yeah.
Correct.
Other questions?
I'm still looking at the bill. Mm-hmm.
See, if you had it in paper form, you could read it quicker.
I'm trying to go paperless. I really don't have any questions. Thank you.
It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah. All right. Wow.
Yeah.
Today is another easy day.
You're a winner, by the way.
You're a winner. thank you, Margaret. Is there anybody else that would like to be heard on Senate Bill 244?
I do have a question.
Oh, good.
I mean, do you know if this would impact any other agency, any other population, anyone who would be opposed?
Chair Gelser and Senator Monis Anderson, to the best of my knowledge, there is no it has no impact on any other agency or their program administration, and we've been telling all of our stakeholders Good. And partners about this bill, and nobody's expressed any concern to us, so I don't believe so.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else that would like to be heard on Senate Bill 244? Are you sure? All right. So, committee, are you comfortable if we schedule this for a work session next week? We're too late to notice it for Thursday, but we could put it on for next Tuesday.
Sure.
Everybody's good with that? All right. So with that, we will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 244 and move on to our work sessions. I will open up a work session on Senate Bill 474.
Carol Gelser, I move Senate Bill 474 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
What if we first have Cheyenne tell us what the bill is?
We can do that.
That would just confuse things.
But it's 474, so.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 474 was previously heard on February the 10th, has no revenue impact, no fiscal impact, and no subsequent referral. It has not been amended. This is the measure that permits the existing dental clinic operated by Providence for special needs children to be operated, to continue its existing operations, as specified in the bill, declares an emergency, is effective on passage.
It is March, isn't it?
thank you very much. And Vice Chair Olson has moved.
Now it's my turn.
Do you want to move it again?
Yeah, I will. Chair Gelser, I move Senate Bill 474 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Olson moves Senate Bill 474 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there a discussion?
The only thing I'd say is I'd like to carry it.
Everybody wants to carry this
Gelser's
bill.
It's
Gelser. Paper, scissors, rock. Here we go.
It's Gelser's
chair,
bill.
Madam Chair.
I am, yes?
You're the chair of the committee, and you're the chief sponsor of the bill.
That's right.
I think it's yours.
All right. I will carry this bill.
We haven't
I'm just
even voted
because
on it yet.
Senator Dimmer is the only person that is not asked to carry the bill. Although you just directed. You didn't. You just
no,
directed
no,
who should carry the bill.
I said it's yours. Yeah.
You do that in judiciary, too. You're kind of the bill carrier assigner.
He's kind of a pushy little guy.
Oh, we haven't actually voted on the bill yet. So.
We're fighting over who's carrying it. It hasn't passed yet.
There's clearly no support for this bill. Is there any further? That was a joke. I didn't mean that.
Okay.
Don't panic.
We're decompressing from earlier today.
That's right. Is there any further discussion? Because we do like to discuss.
Yes, well, we can't do anything quickly today.
No.
All right. See, no further discussion. Is there any objection to the motion to send Senate Bill 474 to the floor? Seeing none, the motion passes, and I will carry this one.
Not fair, but we'll take it.
All right. Oh, and it's my turn to do something. I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 474. I'm going to open up a work session on Senate Bill 233.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 233 was previously heard on the 12th. There's no revenue impact. A fiscal impact did issue, and hard copies were provided at the dais because it came this afternoon. And the subsequent referral to Senate Judiciary is pending rescission, so the motion, should your committee be so inclined, request rescission to go back to the desk and then straight to the floor after
okay.
that. Yeah. It's not amended, and it's the measure that requires the Department of Human Services and the Oregon Health Authority to suspend rather than terminate medical assistance for inmates who are expected to remain in Department of Corrections custody longer than a year, as well as when they remain in custody, but they're hospitalized externally. It's a gap filler.
Great.
Yep.
All right. Senator Olson.
Chair Gilster, I move Senate Bill 233 to the floor with a do pass recommendation and that the subsequent referral to the Committee on Judiciary be rescinded.
Vice Chair Olson moves Senate Bill 233 to the floor with a do pass recommendation and that the subsequent referral to the Committee on Judiciary be rescinded. Is there any discussion?
Yes. Does this rescinding of the referral to Judiciary, does it still have to go to the President's office?
Yeah.
Okay.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection to the motion? Seeing none, the motion passes and the bill is sent to the floor pending the rescission. Senator Montes Anderson, would you carry this one?
Yes, I would love to.
Thank you. All right, I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 233 and open up a work session on Senate Bill 234.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 234 was previously heard on February the 12th. It has no revenue impact, no fiscal impact, and no subsequent referral. This one is the one that relieves the Department of Corrections and others from their joint annual rulemaking to govern purchase of OCE products. The rules are already covered by DAS. There's no amendment.
Great. Senator Olson.
Chair Gilster, I move Senate Bill 234 to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Olson moves Senate Bill 234 to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection? Seeing none, the motion passes. And Senator Olson, will you carry the bill?
Absolutely.
Thank you. I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 234. I will now open up a work session on Senate Bill 555 for the purpose of sending it to Senator Dimbrough. Senator Olson.
Chair Gelser, I move Senate Bill 555 without recommendation back to the Senate President for re-referral to another committee.
Vice Chair Olson moves Senate Bill 555 without recommendation back to the Senate President to re-referral to another committee. And colleagues, the reason that I've asked that this be re-referred, it really is a workforce issue. This has to do with minimum wage for people with disabilities who are in the workforce, and we have a workforce committee. So.
Discussion. Yeah. I wish we had did a little work on this in this committee, and I do, but since Senator Dimbrough is here, he will hear my comments.
And Madam Chair, if I could just intervene, Senator Gelser's on that committee as well.
Oh, that's wonderful.
In fact, both of these re-referrals are to committees that she's on, I believe.
And they're so both my bills.
Okay. She's got control of it.
I just want you to know that East Co. is located in my district, and this will definitely impact that organization. And I know I've heard from the agency that they're really working hard with the parents and to make sure that these clients are well taken care of. I've been down, since it's only two blocks from my house, I've been there several times. It's very difficult for me to see them in any other setting than at East Co. because they are disabled enough where they're given tasks, even though, but then there's fun things to do too, and they go on field trips to a horse, actually a stable where they work with horses and that. So I mean, this population is extremely important to me, and I am hoping, because I had an uproar from various parents when they got word of this, that some of these people aren't going to fall through the cracks, because they just can't. Their abilities are such that they're there. Yes, they're able to do some tasks, but they can't do it to the full extent, and maybe and need to be compensated. But employers will really have to be very, very lenient and flexible to be paying the minimum wage for tasks where maybe the productivity is not as good as it could be. So I just needed to say that because I want to have quality of life for all of these people, and I get concerned that the feds will, you know, the feds are setting up rules and regs and maybe not really identifying with the people that it's affecting. Thank you.
And I would. Oh, did you want to?
I would just say thanks, Madam Chair, that we are. I am planning to have a hearing in the committee, an information hearing on employment issues related to people with disabilities, you know, in general. And this bill will be heard within that context. So we'll be sure to let your office know when that gets scheduled.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. And I would just say this is an issue that has become a passion for me for a variety of reasons. I actually am, my oldest child is one of these individuals, and hopefully entering the workforce, we're actually going through that process right now, which is a fascinating process. And then in my work on the National Council on Disability over the last several years, I've been doing a lot of work on a subcommittee working on 14C. We actually submitted a number of recommendations to Congress, and in the process of doing that, we visited 11 different states, including Oregon, to visit a variety of different work sites, both sheltered sites and integrated work sites, and states that had gone through transitions. We interviewed family members, we interviewed people with disabilities, kind of across a broad range, policymakers, to really try to understand what's working where, what needs to change in terms of benefits planning to be able to make sure that people have quality of life. And I think one of the things that I've noticed gets kind of confused in this conversation sometimes is that there's a lot of services and programs that go into building those supports around a person with a disability. So programs like going to the horse farm or volunteering or kind of day activities is a different service element really than employment training services, and that one doesn't have to come at the exclusion of the other. And I think that's something that we very carefully have to look at moving forward. This bill, however, is really narrow, and it's separate from the employment order. It's not about not having people places, and there is a protection for the nonprofits in this, in that it only applies to contracts that are taken out by the state. So if a public entity is entering into this contract with one of these entities, then everybody working on that contract would make minimum wage, which means the fiscal impact would actually be on the state or the public entity as opposed to on the nonprofit organization or on any business that was out there. It's kind of a, if we're going to tell businesses to do that, we first demonstrate by putting our money where our mouth is by allocating the funds to do that. So that's what it is.
Okay. Well, I know that I think it's called Portland Rehabilitation. Mm-hmm. It's an awesome place that I have visited, and they are actually performing tasks that I think they pay above minimum wage just because of the skill level that is needed for some of the jobs that they need performed there. So, yeah, it goes both ways. Yeah, thank you.
Senator Cruz.
Yeah, probably more for Senator Denbrough on this. The governor's done some things through executive order that I think could negatively impact some of these organizations that are hiring the disabled. A couple in my community are very concerned that he kind of cut the legs off from under them. So I think I would suggest you take a look at those sorts of issues too, because you know these people, if they lose this, there's really not much else for them. So.
And again, going both ways, I can tell you firsthand, my son is having opportunities to work that he would not have had without that executive order. He has access to services and isn't going right into a sheltered shop.
I understand that.
Extraordinary shift for the clients as opposed to the organization.
Well, good intentions, but sometimes there are negative consequences. So I think it's worth taking a look and seeing what adjustments can be made to make sure that we aren't negatively impacting this person to benefit this person, sort of thing. So,
Well, so we're going to send it to Senator Dimbro, I would anticipate it will be a lengthy hearing full of people that, and I think there's a lot of opinions, and the common thread that pulls everybody together is wanting to serve this population of folks. And
well, I was going to devote 15 minutes to this, but maybe I shouldn't.
We need at least 17. And Senator Olson's going to come in and give a presentation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right. Vice Chair Olson. Oh, we're in the discussion section, aren't we?
Yep.
Yeah.
Is there further discussion? Seems like we've exhausted that. Is there any objection? Seeing none, the motion passes. Ready? Yes, Vice Chair Olson.
Chair Gelser, I move Senate Bill 560 without recommendation back to the Senate President for re-referral to another committee.
Vice Chair Olson moves Senate Bill 560 without recommendation back to the Senate President for re-referral to another committee. Colleagues, this bill has to do with special education evaluations, and it seems like it appropriately might do well in the Education Committee.
Did you get your candy bars?
From the chair?
Well, we had an Education Committee, and there were two paydays sitting there for you, and you never came in, and the committee administrator said she'd bring them over, but obviously you haven't got them yet.
No, I have not.
What? She missed her payday.
I think it was put on my desk because I had a payday on my desk.
I offered to bring them, and she said, no, I can take care of it, but we have staff issues, I think, so... Or somebody who really likes paydays, one of the two. So.
I can assure you that I probably don't need more candy.
Did she take it to keep or just as a loan?
Well, there were two of them and there were notes attached, so I don't know.
Were they specifically to me?
Yes.
All right.
I didn't get any.
Did you get one?
I did.
Did Senator Cruz get one?
No. Nobody likes me, so. Oh.
I know. No payday for you.
I didn't get one, because I know payday is Friday.
Is there any discussion about the bill or the motion? Seeing none, is there any objection? Seeing none, the motion passes, and I will close the work session on Senate Bill 560. I never actually closed the work session on Senate Bill 555, so I'm closing the work session on Senate Bill 555. And we have exhausted our agenda. To borrow from the good House Revenue Chair. Anything further before?
Yeah, I think we've exhausted all the members here at the dais today, too. So.
Very good. Thank you all very much, and we're adjourned.